My desires have never been the same since I knelt there at the cross. The silver of the worldly game, it all turned into dross. And what used to be gain for me, I counted it but loss, that I may know Him in His resurrecting power, that I may know Him in a fellowship that's ours, that I may know Him and be like Him, Christ my King, that I may know Him more than anything. Forgetting things which are behind and reaching those before, never feeling that I have arrived, but longing for Him more, pressing for the prize in the skies, and yearning o'er and o'er, that I may know Him and His resurrecting power, that I may know Him in a fellowship that's ours, that I may know Him and be like Him, Christ my King, that I may know Him more than anything, that I may know Him more than anything. When a baby is born, that baby, having been in the mother's womb for 9 months, wants mother. And it searches until it feels the warmth of its mother, yearning for the food from its mother. When we're born again, God plants His life within us. And that life begins to yearn and reach for the source from which it came. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Oh, that I may know Him, that you may know Him. The Christian life is Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, we're thankful for the day and the blessings of it. It's good to see you back tonight. Some of you look like you're running behind in the race. But at least you're running, right? It's like my grandson. I wanted him to play baseball. That was one of the loves of my youth. And wanted him to play basketball. Nothing seemed to appeal to him. And then they asked him if he'd like to run track. And he loves to run. And so he said, yes, I'll go out for the track team. And being in a small school, they took him. And then came their first big contest. The other schools coming in, they had a host of runners. The gun went off. Boy, he was doing so well that first lap. Then I saw him drop behind a little in the second lap and very much behind in the third lap. I was cheering him on. Come on, Thomas, come on. Kick it in, man, kick it in. He didn't have anything to kick in. And he came in, I believe it was 27th. I could tell he was discouraged. I said to him, man, don't worry about it. You get to run again. At least you kept running. He said, yeah, Papa, I was thinking a while ago, at least I finished. I said, that's right. That's right. And so at least you made it on Tuesday night. That's right. Thank you for being here. Again, it's a joy to serve the Lord. And I'm grateful to serve him in this place. The last time I checked, the Lord did not owe me a pulpit in which to preach. I operate on free grace. And I thank him for graciously giving me this opportunity. By the way, he doesn't owe you anything either. How precious that he would consider the likes of us. I want you to be turning with me, please, to the Old Testament book of Genesis. And I'm reading from chapter number 22. Genesis chapter 22. I think I'll read several verses, beginning with verse 1. You follow along silently as I read in your hearing. Genesis chapter 22, beginning with verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father, he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. I'll leave off reading there. That's the first 14 verses of Genesis chapter 22. I've had Abraham in my heart since Sunday morning when I mentioned briefly the timing that God brought into Abraham's experience. He went up one side of the mountain with Isaac, and the ram in God's providence went up the other side, and the need was met by God's supply. I read a book some time ago on the grace of God. It had been recommended to me. And to say the least, I was let down. The writing did not correspond with the title, maybe a couple of chapters. He said a lot about grace. But he said more in the remaining chapters about man and what man needs to do instead of what God does. So the book, the writing, really did not parallel with the title. The Bible is a book on the subject of redemption. And may I magnify the fact that both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the theme of the book corresponds with this grand subject, this grand theme of redemption. I love Spurgeon's comment about the Old Testament. He took a verse of scripture and said about the Old and the New Testament, "What God hath joined together, let no man put asunder." I love that. My grandmother used to refer to the Old Testament as the Old Bible. And I didn't try to contradict her. But I want to tell you, the Old Testament is not the Old Bible. It's the older of the two Testaments. It's the older Testament. And its sister is the newer Testament. So here in the Old Testament, we have Abraham proclaiming the God of redemption. And that emphasis corresponds with the theme and the subject of the whole Bible. So my thought tonight is the God of redemption. I'd like for us to look at Him, to worship Him, to muse upon Him, to adore Him, the God of redemption. And I'm preaching tonight on redemption as proclaimed by Abraham. It seemed to be so clear at the moment when he proclaimed, "My son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering." And if you would allow me, I'd like to just stay with those words tonight. God will provide Himself a lamb. And I'd like to say some things regarding what Abraham said about the God of redemption. First of all, I want to underline that Abraham proclaimed the vastness of the God of redemption. He said to Isaac, as Isaac realized their dilemma, "Here's the fire and here's the wood, but Father, where is the lamb?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide Himself a lamb." I would begin with that great name, God. It reveals the vastness of His person. It's the same name that's used in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. The Hebrew name is Elohim. And since the name is attached to creation, the vastness of God is set forth in His power. He is the God who created everything. And Abraham believed, if necessary, according to Hebrews 11, that he would resurrect Isaac to keep his promise. The power of God in His vastness. Now, there are many names for God in the Old Testament. The two basic and seemingly predominant names involve this name, God, capital G, little O and little D, and then the name Lord, meaning Jehovah. Now, whereas Jehovah seems to be attached to the God of the covenant, Elohim is attached to the God of creation. And so could I say, when Abraham responded to Isaac, he proclaimed, "My son, the God who created everything will have no problem providing himself a lamb." He's the great God of power. We not only see the vastness of God and his power, but this name Elohim is a plural title. It's even used to describe the false gods, little g, little o, little d, little s. Of course, here it is not the false gods that is being represented, but it is the God of creation. And it's as though he said, "My son, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost will provide himself a lamb." He's speaking of the plurality of God, the God who is bigger than the need, the God who is bigger than the circumstance, the God who is greater than the situation. "Yeah, but Tom, you don't know what I'm facing." No, but I know the God who is, and he's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. One of our mountain preachers who is sometimes eloquent, and one of my mentors, Brother William Huntley, Buck as everybody knew him, Brother Buck, he reached a point, it is almost as though he ran out of words. And he said, "I haven't run out of words. I'm talking to you about God. What a God, what a Jesus, what a Holy Ghost." And here he went again. I want to say, here we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit set forth in this great name for God. Now let me say, as it has worked in my heart throughout the day, if this was all Abraham said, it was more than adequate. "Father, here's the wood and here's the fire. Where's the lamb?" And Abraham said, "My son, God, God, God will provide himself a lamb." May I point you tonight to the God who's bigger than where you are. God will provide himself a lamb. So the name God reminds us of his vastness, his bigness, his glory. The phrase continues with the word will. God will. There's no reluctance in that. There's no hesitancy in that. That is a proclamation of the full assurance of faith. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Here we have Abraham proclaiming the willingness of God. Now it is true that more often not than we do, it is yet possible to lay hold of the willingness of God. The God who had called him from idolatrous practices. The God who had brought him into the Canaan land. The God who had salvaged him from a trip of unbelief down to Egypt. The God who brought him back to the place of his altar. The God who came to his aid as he fought in behalf of Lot, restoring him that was fallen. That same God had brought Isaac into the world. Can you imagine? 100-year-old man and a wife bumping 100. And them becoming the parents of a little boy. You remember when the promise came, Sarah laughed. And in the end, God had the last laugh. They named him Isaac, which means laughter. Some of you have had some unbelief, some experiences of unbelief. Some little Isaacs, where God had the last laugh. But Abraham not only proclaimed the vastness of God, but he proclaimed the willingness of God. Now, as I've meditated upon this, two words, one that I've already used earlier, but I'd like to underline it again tonight. Two words have come to my heart. First of all, Abraham was surer of God's identification with their circumstance. He did not say, my son, God might. You just can't ever tell. God might provide a miraculous provision. And he didn't say like some of us, well, God could. If he wanted to, he could. But he said, God will. Oh, that the Holy Ghost might write that in our hearts. God will. Abraham was sure that God identified with them in this hour of need. By the way, the God who leads you into an hour of testing will identify with you even through the supplies for the testing. And he certainly identified with Abraham and Isaac. And then my other word is he was in seeing the willingness of God. And getting hold, laying hold of the willingness of God. He was not only sure of God's identification with them, but he was sure of God's intervention for them. My son, you're concerned, you're troubled, you're very exercised about how all this is going to work out. My son, God will. God will. Now, I'd like to give a parallel New Testament story. The leper came to Jesus and said, if thou wilt, Master, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole. And Jesus said, I will. Be thou made whole. Somehow, this leper laid hold of the willingness of Christ. I would encourage someone tonight not to throw up your hands in your circumstances, not to abandon hope, but to lay hold of the willingness of God. He's the one that's called you and brought you to this hour. He'll not forsake you now. As the psalmist put it, he'll not forsake the work of his own hands. He's the potter. We're the clay, and he's going to work with us until we're conformed unto his own image. There's hope for you yet. There's hope for me yet. Praise God. He's going to make us just like Jesus. Some days I have my doubts. But hallelujah, he doesn't have his. He is in the process of making us like his son. The willingness of God. If we're not careful, we'll make it sound in our prayers like God is deaf, or God is far away, or God is disinterested. But I say he cares for his own. And he bids us come boldly or confidently to the throne of grace, not that we may be refused, but that we may obtain mercy and that we might find grace in a time of need. Yeah, thank God for his vastness. Thank God for his willingness. We're here tonight not because of all our willingness, but we're here because of his willingness to save us, to bless us, to use us, to help us. Oh, brother. Hallelujah. I've done preached myself up into a shout. Yes, sir. I'm talking to you about the God of redemption. Abraham proclaimed him. He proclaimed the vastness of God. My son, God. He proclaimed the willingness of God. My son, God will. God will. Oh, that someone might get a hold of that tonight. God will. Some of us would rather sing like Jacob, in the days of old I wrestled with the Lord until I persuaded him. Oh, it's crying out to God in honesty and humility and watching God come to your aid so willingly, so graciously. Then we come to a big word. God will provide. Now, this is the same word that is later used when Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. The Lord, he will see to it. Or the Lord, he will provide. I'd say thirdly, redemption as proclaimed by Abraham magnified the fullness of God. For how will he provide if he is not full of himself? Yeah. You've heard it said about a little boy or a little girl. Boy, he's full of himself. That means somebody probably needs to tan his hide. Or you've heard it said about a little girl. Boy, she's full of herself. Yeah, she talks as much as her mother. All right. I want to make sure you're with me now. I want to tell you, God is full of himself. And he needs no reprimand. He needs no rebuke. He does not need to be called into counsel. Oh, no. God will provide. Jireh. Or some pronounce it the J like a Y. Yari. God will provide. That is, God will see to it. God will look to it. God will take care of it. This speaks to me of his ability. Why would you ask some people to do certain things? They don't have the ability to do it. It's the reason I wrestled with my call. I didn't feel like I had the ability. I didn't realize that God enables with his call. Here's a good proof text for that. Be ye holy, for I am holy. The holy God's going to enable us to be holy. And so God is seen as the great provider. God will provide. It shows us his ability. Somebody said, well, I've never been brought to this place. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what God's going to do. Well, you can believe this. You don't have to doubt God's ability. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we might ask or think, according to that power which worketh in us. Yes. We used to sing, he's able, he's able. I know he's able. I know my God is able to carry me through. Do you still believe that? Abraham did. He proclaimed the God of redemption and his vastness. He proclaimed the God of redemption and his willingness. And he proclaimed the God of redemption and his fullness. It not only speaks to us of his ability, that he speaks to us of his authority. God will provide. whether you vote for it or not. Boy, we Baptists, we're in bad shape on this thing of voting. I've been in churches where they were voting on what kind of light bulb they were going to buy this month. Brother. Voting about which side the piano's going to be on. I noticed y'all settled that. Yeah. I say, beloved, you don't have to vote on whether God will provide or not. If you lay hold of the willingness of God, you just might as well go ahead and accept God's provision. God will provide. Years ago, I was preaching on God providing, and I came to this text. He named the place Jehovah Jireh. And it was a stepstone for me to preach on many of the names of God. What anchors, what words of solidity for our hearts. Here, I'm reminded he's the God who provides. I've watched him provide $10 when I had to have $10. And recently, I watched him provide several thousand dollars when the transmission went out of my van. Ah, I say God is sufficient. He's full. He's able. And he's authoritative. Yes, he provides. Jehovah Jireh. Some of you ought to say that with me instead of whining about what's not happening. You should say with me, everybody together, Jehovah Jireh. Yeah. Amen. Kathy and I decided we would add, you know, you can have a bank account, then you can add somewhat of another account to that account. And we added a little account, and we went to the bank, and he said, and what do you want to name this one? And I looked at Kathy, and she said, what we had agreed on, she said, we want to name it JJ. He said, JJ? Why would you name the account JJ? She said, that's short for Jehovah Jireh. It means that God will provide. So every time the Lord sends a little extra in, we put it in the JJ account. And usually take it out just about as fast as we put it in. I want to tell you, he's Jehovah Jireh tonight. Hallelujah. God will provide. He's in that business. He's God, and besides him, there is none else. Now we come to that big word in the verse. God will provide himself. The God who instigated the need, initiated the need, now gives himself to supply the need. My son, God will provide himself. Having emphasized the vastness of God and the willingness of God and the fullness of God, now Abraham proclaims the exactness of God. The God who will provide is the provision that he will provide. He will provide himself. You've heard before, and I underline it tonight, the text does not say God will provide for himself, but it says God will provide himself. Let me mention a couple of little words that I've written down. The only one who can totally satisfy God is God himself. Somebody said, well, I'm going to do this. I believe this will satisfy God. Well, it might in a measure. But the only one who can totally satisfy himself is God himself. here Abraham alludes to that. God. Yes, there's a need, Isaac, but God will provide Himself. Do you have a need tonight? Why don't you let God put Himself in it? He'll blow it up, brother. He'll destroy the need with Himself, the exactness of Himself. May I add, He's not only the one who can totally satisfy Himself, but He is the only one who can totally supply Himself. Now, I've tried on occasions to get God in a headlock and pull Him into my knees. Oh, God, please. Come on now, Lord. You know I have this issue. And then all of a sudden, He would escape my great hold. I can't supply God for the need. Only God can totally supply God for the need. The exactness of God. God will provide Himself. It's not that He's just going to provide a lamb. It's not that He's just going to supply the need, but He's going to put Himself in the need. Can you see that tonight? Somebody who has a great need and you're trying to pull God in on it, straining and pulling. Y'all pray for me now. And you keep straining and pulling like you're going to get God to yield to you. This thing of doing the will of God is not writing out on a piece of paper what we think and then getting God to sign it. But it's giving God a blank sheet of paper and letting Him fill it in, and then we're to sign it. Abraham is conscious of who God is, and he said He will provide Himself. Himself. I sang a little bit about it. God is not interested in us just learning more about the Christian life. He wants us to know Him, Himself. That I may know Him. Those words were the confession of an old man. Paul's not a young Christian, just biting and panting after God. He was an old Christian. Someone might say to him, Paul, how do you stay motivated? What is it that moves you? You've done everything. You've been everywhere. Paul, what is it that you have working in you? And Paul said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. He still had that yearning, burning desire to know Christ. Oh, may that be the yearning of our heart. I thought I would mention just maybe a little phrase. We're told that Christ gave Himself for our sins. He did it Himself. He was the substitute, the sacrifice, but He was more than that. He was the high priest. And He offered Himself. Oh, brother, God offering God. You ever thought about those prayers that Jesus prayed? God talking to God. And the Holy Spirit in us praying, Abba, Father. God talking to God. I said, it got a little too big for me there. He's the only one who can totally please Himself. He's the only one who can totally supply Himself. Look to Him tonight. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, I've preached so I could preach for just a few minutes. I want to mention lastly, Abraham not only proclaimed the vastness of God in redemption, God, and he not only proclaimed the willingness of God in redemption, God will, and that's exactly what happened when Christ died. The willingness of God was exhibited. Then Abraham proclaimed the fullness of God in redemption. God will provide. We've mentioned fourthly that Abraham proclaimed the exactness of God in redemption. God will provide himself. Before we go our way tonight, I'd like to use those last two words in the phrase, God will provide himself a lamb. Here, Abraham proclaimed the likeness of God in his redemptive work. The likeness of God, the representation of God, the portrait of God. What was it? A lamb. A lamb. It speaks to me of God's humble likeness. Here's the God of eternity, the God who created everything. And Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb. He will condescend and be a lamb. The Lamb of God. God incarnate, God in human flesh. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And again, we're told that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among men. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. May I say, the likeness of God was not only a humble likeness in the proclamation of Abraham. God will provide himself a lamb. But the likeness of God in the proclamation of Abraham was a hopeful likeness. Why will he be represented as the lamb? Because as John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That's your hope tonight. That's my hope tonight. Not that I knelt at an altar. Not that I can give you an exact time and an exact moment. Not that I can give you a verse that was read to me in that hour. But that I believed on the Lamb of God. Amen. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The likeness of God, a lamb. Now many lambs had been offered. We could say thousands and thousands of lambs were slain on the altars of God throughout the Old Testament. But when this lamb came, God himself in the person of Christ, he's called the Lamb of God. Not a lamb, some lamb. He's the Lamb of God. God in human flesh. God will provide himself a lamb. You know, we say about people, for instance, my brother, he's a tool and die man. He's a perfectionist. And that's needed in that world. We'll say about someone else, he's a mechanic. Or we'll say about another, he's a policeman. Or someone else, he's an electrician. He's a builder. He's a construction man. He's a plumber. I hope he's more of a plumber than some I've met. He's a plumber. He's a doctor. She's a teacher. She's a housekeeper. That's what we would say about various individuals. But Abraham says about God, he's a redeemer. God shall provide himself a lamb. And you remember what happened? We have a double type in this chapter. Isaac is the first type of Christ. The ram caught in the thicket is the other type of Christ. And that ram got all tangled up in the thicket. And in God's plan, it was hung up by its horns. Had it been hung up by its wool, it may have been marred and not fit for an acceptable sacrifice. But it was caught by its horns in the thicket. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. There was the immediate fulfillment of the prophecy. My son, God will provide himself a ram. He did. And he offered him up in the stead of Isaac. But oh, there's a futuristic fulfillment yet to be fulfilled on Mount Calvary in Christ's death. My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. I sure have enjoyed magnifying the God of redemption tonight. Would you stand with me? Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. He's all we need as a redeemer, as a savior, as a deliverer. He's all we need. And then let's pinpoint a need you may have tonight. God will provide himself. He's bigger than the need. Oh, that we might lay hold of his willingness. We may trust him afresh as he shows himself in his vastness, in his fullness, in his willingness. What about that son? What about that daughter? What about that dad or that mom? That loved one? Oh, you must look to Christ. God will provide himself a lamb. He's able to meet those needs. He's bigger than all of them. Our Father, we give thee thanks for this time in thy word. Oh Lord, the bigness of thy word, the completeness of thy word. We ask that thou wouldst let it lodge in the good soil of our souls. We ask, Lord, that you would get maximum glory from these feeble channels tonight. We pray that thou wouldst be honored and praised, and for these who are seeking thy face, oh God, show thy vastness, show thy willingness, show thy fullness to their hearts. May they know the God who provides. Now, Lord, may you be exalted in these few moments. We'll be grateful and thankful. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, while our sister plays through another verse. I will sing of my Redeemer. Mother, you think you could lay hold of God's willingness in that situation? Dad, could you trust him afresh to do what you cannot do? God will provide himself a lamb. While these are praying, there might be others who need to bow. I see several bowing at their seat. You just let him have his way in your heart. Yes, yes. Oh, Lord, help us.